a quarter of an hour until midnight. Time for us to go to the Black Chapel. Each Friday evening, we come to this remote spot, a place of mystery and terror, where a gaunt-hooded figure appears and sits at the keyboard of the ruined old organ, mumbling and gibbering his fantastic tales as his talon hands grip the crack.
Little do they know. Little does anyone know. The facts about the mahogany coffin. Yes. The mahogany coffin. Maybe you'll want one like it. Yes. Maybe you'll want your coffin to be just like it. So soft and peaceful. Just the thing for a good night's sleep. Listen. You hear the wind? It was just such a night when old Silas Digger died. With only the wind to mourn for him. Many of the town wits had great fun with Silas Digger's name. For that was what he did. He dug graves in a little cemetery on the edge of town. Silas was a good grave digger. The walls of the graves he dug were straight, and they never caved in while the funerals were going on. That's why the cemetery people had hired him and not old Lou Higgins, the other applicant for the job. Silas was careful with his graves, but he was even more careful with his bed. Silas had worked in the graveyard so long, he wanted his bed to be more soft and comfortable than those many coffins he helped lower into the ground. So board by board, piece by piece, he built his bed, using only the finest of mahogany. Yes, heavy mahogany. It cost Silas the wages of many a grave digging just for the wood alone. But it was worth it. And it took Silas a long, long time to make his bed. He measured the boards of the foot and those of the head. They were the same length. He laid them across the frame of the bed and then joined them perfectly, completely covering the frame. The sideboards were built up high so that when he was lying in the bed, he couldn't see out. Oh, now you're beginning to see, aren't you? Yes. Silas Digger's mahogany bed was to be his coffin. Silas was badly puzzled for a while. How could he fix his bed so that the foot and headboards would close down over him when he died? Then he worked it out. With his dying movement, he would touch a little spring, and foot and headboard would close down over him, and he would be in his coffin. But what about a grave big enough to hold the coffin? He must talk to the graveyard people on the morrow. Silas bought two lots side by side in the graveyard. And when he wasn't busy digging other people's graves, he worked carefully on his own. Yes, he was digging his own grave. Finally, it was done. And now all there was to do was to die. Yes, die in his own bed, and with his dying movement, turn it into his coffin. When they saw the bed folded over him, they would know. And when they started to dig in his two graveyard lots, they would find everything in readiness. For he had just laid a few thin boards over the open grave and covered them with dirt. But Silas didn't die. No, not yet. All these years, old Lou Higgins had hated Silas, hated him beyond reason. And all because Silas had gotten a job at the graveyard, and the cemetery people had told Lou that he could have the job if Silas ever wanted to quit. Lou decided finally that there was only one way to make Silas give up that job. Silas would have to die. And Lou would see to it that he did. Snooping continually in the graveyard, old Lou found out that Silas owned two lots.
Vincent had already dug his own grave. Yes. And it was covered with only a few thin boards and a little dirt. Ah, he had an idea. Yes. Lou had an idea. He smiled as he thought about it. Silas was lonely. So he made friends with the wind that blew in the graveyard. That's why it mourned for him the night he died. Yes, the wind was his friend. And he told his friend about his coffin and his grave. But Silas' figure was getting very old. He was slow in his work. And it was long after dark. He was still lifting spade after spade of dirt from a pauper's grave. Hard work, yes, very hard. And his old bones ached. His skinny legs shivered in the cold and his teeth clicked as he asked his friend the wind about the darkness. Finally, he was through. And he slowly started home when he decided he would walk by his own grave. In the darkness, his friend the wind, in a playful mood, blew just a speck of dirt in his already watery eyes. He blinked and began to chide the wind for its prank. And then he heard old Lou's voice.
Silas, come over here. Help me. Help me.
Silas was startled at that voice. What was Lou doing here in the graveyard? And what could be the matter with him? Silas started toward that voice. And before he knew it, he walked out onto his own grave. The thin board gave way, and with a shriek, down he crashed. When the cemetery people found him, he was quite dead. And his right hand was stretched out above his head, reaching for something. And there was a horrible look of determination upon his face, so horrible that the graveyard people turned away. Standing there with them was old Lou Higgins. Yes, the job was his now, and the first thing he had to do was to bury old Silas Digger. When he tried to put Silas into a little cheap pine coffin, he wouldn't fit. His outstretched hand made him too long. So Lou decided to bury Silas by standing him up in the corner of his grave and covering him with dirt. When old Lou was finished, Silas's fingers were just under the top layer of dirt on the grave. That night, about 2 hours after sundown, the wind began to blow. One little whirlpool of wind seemed more fierce than the rest, and it hovered a long while over a certain section of the graveyard. But no one knew that it was cleaning away the dirt from Silas Digger's body. No. No one knew but the wind. Old Lou Higgins had come to Silas Digger's house to live. He marveled at the bed. It was so beautiful, so soft, so peaceful. Not at all in keeping with any of the other furniture. He wondered about it, the rich mahogany panel, the deep sideboard. No, he wouldn't roll out of that bed. But then it was getting late and he had work to do tomorrow. It was going to be nice to sleep in such a splendid, comfortable bed. Yes, such a splendid bed. The covers were warm under old Lou's chin. Nice and warm. The wind outside was cold. It sounded angry that swirled around the corners of the house. Then of a sudden it was quiet. There came a deadness of sound so complete that Lou could hear his own heart beating wildly in his withered breast. A paralyzing chill came over him. Icy fingers of fear searched through his brain. What was that? It sounded like the front door. There must be a prank of the wind. No. Then it was again. It was the door. It was coming open. He could feel the wind as it surged through. Anxious to get inside. After the wind whirled around the lonely house, it moaned in anger. It heard something. Something on and on. And again the voice of the wind was quiet.
There.
The old man heard them. Those were footsteps. Slow, heavy footsteps. They scraped across the floor. Then, after the log, and came the steps. Then a clunk. Now the steps came closer. The long, sickening scrape and the heavy clunk. Something was coming to his bedroom door. Now no sound at all. The unearthly stillness that he could actually feel. His heart was pounding wildly, choking his throat. He couldn't breathe. He couldn't see. He could only wait, wait and listen, his eyes straining out into the darkness. There was a sound. The doorknob was turning. Now the cat slid back in the lock. The old door squeaked slowly. Then came the wind. It squeezed through the tiny crack and rushed into the room. Old Lou could feel it angrily brush across his burning face. Now the door burst full wide with the angry wind to get in. And again, there came that silence. The wind was waiting. Old Lou Higgins, too, was waiting. There was nothing else to do but wait. He was conscious only that his pounding heart was choking back his scream. There it was again. Closer. The revolting scrape. Then the heavy clunk. Another scraping sound. Closer now. Then the clump. The old man could see a form in the darkness. Black as spot in the blackness of the room. Something heavy was trying to climb over the sides boards of the bed. There he felt it. It was cold and stiff and very awkward. He could see it now. Ghastly white. Feet with dirt. One arm above its head. Was the corpse of Silas Digger. He found his voice as Silas fell across him. He screamed into the blackness. He screamed again and again as the dead body rolled across him. And then there was only the wind. Sighed a deep, long sigh, though it was a final breath released after a job was done. For as the wind rushed out of the room, the head and the foot of the bed slipped quietly together, leaving Silas Digger safe in his mahogany coffin. Safe. With company, too. Yes. With company. You do. And let me tell you one that's even funnier. Yes. Let me tell you the sinister tale of a strange bequest. Yes, the sinister tale.
It is almost midnight. Time for the voice of the Black Chapel to recede into the void from whence it came. Each Friday evening, at a quarter of an hour before midnight, we come to this remote place, the Black Chapel, and listen to the hooded figure who sits at the keyboard of the ruined old organ, gibbering his fantastic tales as his talon hands grasp the cracked keys. Listen next Friday evening for the sinister tale of a strange bequest. This is the Columbia Broadcast.